time now for KJN's RP Today, daily program focusing on the people, places, and events that make the Nishnah Valley a special place. Today's edition of RP Today is brought to you by Camblin Plumbing and Heating in downtown Atlantic. And here at this morning's program is your host, Jim Field.
Hi, Chris. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Well, good. Another nice day. It looks like exactly the same forecast we had yesterday.
Yeah, precisely.
Sunny and 78.
Yep.
Just keep it coming. Brett's in with us this morning, too, as we get going. He'd like to tell us today about Camblin Plumbing and Heating. Brett, good morning.
Good morning. Emergency service is second nature to us at Camblin Plumbing and Heating. We know that you can't time when something is going to break or start leaking. We have an emergency service plan in effect that will and always have had. When you call either of our stores in Atlantic or Harlan, you will get a recording with an emergency cell phone number. If our technician doesn't answer immediately, just leave a message on the cell phone and he will get back to you as soon as possible. Emergencies and life seem to go together, and we at Camblin Plumbing and Heating want to make that part of your life easier. Try us out the next time and call at 243-1512 in Atlantic or 755-3286 in Harlan.
Great. Thank you, Brett. I want to bring in our guest on the phone this morning. Joining us from Griswold this morning is Lindsay Noel Sosa. Lindsay, good morning.
Hi. How are you doing?
Well, just great this morning. Thanks for spending some time with us here on our program.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we're going to talk. You're home right now, which is kind of nice for a change, but you have a bigger job that takes you a long way away. You're doing missionary work in Haiti these days, right?
That's correct. I'm actually going to school right now. I am in nursing school at Iowa Western, but on my free time during spring break or during Christmas break for the past several years, I've been going down to Haiti. Before nursing school, I actually lived down in Haiti as a missionary. And I also spent 6 months down there after the earthquake. So right now it's kind of off and on because I'm in school, but after I'm finished with school, I'll be going back down there.
What got you interested in doing that in the first place?
Well, it's kind of an interesting story. I was living in California. I just graduated with my bachelor's degree. And a friend of mine just said to me one day, "Do you want to go to Haiti?" She had received this email just stating that they needed help down there. They had an orphanage, and they were really in need of someone to go down there and help with the children. And so she casually said to me, "You know, do you want to go?" And I said back to her, "Yep, I do want to go." And so at that time, I gave my job 2 weeks' notice, and I headed down to Haiti 2 weeks later.
Who does that, Lindsay? That's a pretty big decision.
I know. When I called my parents, They didn't seem too surprised because I had traveled before I had decided to go to Haiti. So I just called them up and I said, I'm going to go to Haiti and volunteer at an orphanage. And they said, okay, and they were really supportive. So it definitely was a God email. And now I kind of look back at it and think, well, maybe that was kind of crazy. But it definitely changed my life forever. And now I'm kind of hooked on it. And I absolutely love serving there. And it's kind of been part of my life for the past 5 years.
Can you talk about what you see? Talk about your emotions and things when you first got there.
Well, when I first got there, I didn't know anyone. And I didn't speak the language. I didn't even know the missionaries down there. I just talked to them over the phone. And so I flew into the Dominican Republic, and then I took a bus, a three-hour bus, to the border of Haiti. The Dominican Republic and Haiti are two completely different countries, different economy, different language, different government. And so when I passed over the border into Haiti, I just tried to be open to whatever I saw and any person that I met. But I remember arriving at the orphanage, and all these kids were running around, and they came and they took my bag, and I thought, oh my gosh, can they take my bag? Can they take it? And they took it upstairs to the office, and I didn't know anyone, so I thought, are you sure this is okay that they're taking my bag? And, you know, I come to find out later, of course, all the children there, you know, just absolutely love having visitors and just love the missionaries. They're part of our family. So it was quite a big change, but it was harder for me to come back to the United States. The culture shock coming back here was harder for me to adjust to than actually living in Haiti.
So what do you do down there?
Well, there's several different things that I do. There's permanent missionaries that live down there full-time, and so they're responsible for running the entire orphanage and also taking care of the children and the several programs that we have. So when I'm down there, especially when I'm down there for just a couple weeks at a time, I really just help facilitate whatever they need to have done, whether that's pay the bills or get the children ready for school or help with different programs that we have going on. We have a school that houses and educates over 500 children from the community. And then we also have about 117 children that actually live with us in the orphanage. We also have a church full of many community members as well. We have a feeding program that goes on where we feed every child in our school as well as the children that live with us. And right now we're actually in the process of building a medical center. So we have a lot of construction going on, and that should open sometime this year. So you can imagine all the things that are going on a daily basis. You know, we have families that have two or three children. We have 117 children. So you can imagine what that's like, getting them ready for school in the morning, making sure they're all bathed, brush their teeth, have their stuff for school. And then when they're in school, we have tons of other projects going on. So when I'm down there, I kind of help just facilitate whatever the needs are. And obviously my heart is to do medical work, so I've also volunteered a lot doing that. If we have school children that get hurt during the day or need some kind of medical attention, then people can usually call on me and I can take them to the doctor or I can help them the best way I can. So eventually I hope to move down there and work as a nurse full time.
You know, Lindsay, it's hard for those of us who haven't been there to really understand exactly what it is you go through and what you see down there. What is their biggest problem? Is it lack of education, just lack of money, lack of opportunity, lack of food, or is it just a combination of all?
Well, I had someone ask me the other day, you know, how is Haiti? And it's kind of hard to answer that question as a whole when you're looking at the entire country, because it is. It is it's just a correlation of all those things that you just mentioned. It's not just one thing. Their economy, their government, their long history of corruption in their government, and just lack of resources as well. They just have no education. They don't have money to go to school. They even common sense things that we know growing up, they may not know those things. To go to the doctor when they're sick, they're going to wait until it's a lot worse before they even go to the doctor. So when people ask me, how is Haiti doing? It's really hard to answer that question because there's so many entities that need to be changed. Mm-hmm. And when I try to answer that question for people, I really try to tell them, you know what, there's a lot of different organizations down there. There's a lot of great things going on. And a lot of times what you can do is you just change and you help one person at a time. Because even though that country has thousands and thousands of people, if you can change one life, it really does make a difference. And it really does change the future for that child in the future.
Yeah, it's really, I guess that sounds like the overriding problem is government corruption. That kind of gets in the way of everything involving progress.
Yeah, I'm not too knowledgeable, I guess, about a lot of the political things that are going on in Haiti, but I know that they do have a new president. They had some problems with their election last year. There's always kind of more corruption going on in the streets during election time. The people don't really know how to voice their opinion without creating some sort of riot. But they have elected a new president, and from what I hear, he is Christian, and he hopes to make some change and hopes to make some difference in their country, and I just hope that he doesn't get wrapped up in the other corruption that is also going on there.
Well, while Haiti can be something that you look at and think, wow, it's just so depressing, there are a lot of positives there for you. You get to go and you get to help people who otherwise might not get the help, but you also, didn't you meet your husband there?
I did meet my husband there. He actually was the head of maintenance at the orphanage. Danita's Children is the name of the orphanage, and he was the head of maintenance there for 7 years. He did all work on all their generators, their plumbing, their electricity, got food. He drove their truck. And so it was kind of a God thing as well. I mean, I didn't expect going to Haiti to find my husband, but he's just a wonderful Christian man, and we're blessed to be able to serve the Haitian people together.
Well, I know there's a fundraiser going on here locally that a family's working on an effort to be able to put some money together to be able to send back with you, and I'm going to tell the details about that here in just a little bit, but how much does that help? I mean, how little money does it take to make a big impact?
It doesn't take very much money, actually. And each one of our children is sponsored by someone in the United States. And I believe they pay something like $29 a month. And what that does is that helps clothe the children. It helps feed them. They get all of their housing, everything for free. Our children that go to school, we help provide their books and also their uniform. And we give them a free meal every single day. So everything that is correlated within our orphanage specifically is all because of people like you or people like me that have been able to donate, even $5. I hear so often, I can't do anything. I can't do anything. I just don't have the resources, or I just don't know what to do. I could never go to Haiti. Well, I kind of try to encourage people because I graduated from Griswold, Iowa. You know, less than 1,000 people. There's no stoplight. And I can do it, and that means you can do it too. And so even if people aren't called or if they don't have the resources to actually take a trip down to Haiti, I try to encourage them and tell them what is going on down there and the difference people are making and what they can do to actually help change a child's life. And I've seen it, firsthand with my own eyes, what it means to take a child in that is orphaned, that is abused, that is starving, that just has nobody. And even a couple days after we bring them in, their whole entire life is changed. And I see that because they start smiling, they start eating, they start hugging us, they become educated. It's just a complete life change for these children. And if you ever do get to see it firsthand, it will change your life forever. And it did me, and I don't think I could ever not go to Haiti because it's such a huge part of my life. And, you know, people have also said, well, what can I do here in the United States? There's tons of people here. And it's true. Just because this is one orphanage in Haiti doesn't mean that that's the only place that you can serve. You can serve right here in your community as well. And so I try to just encourage people that even $5, even $1, because if you know, 100 people give a dollar, how much is that, you know? So I think that everyone can actually help in some way.
Well, Lindsay, if they'd like to know more specifically about the orphanage where you serve, they can actually find out more on the web, right?
Yes, that's correct. We have a website. It's www.danitaschildren.org, and it tells all of our projects that are going on. It gives stories of children, how their lives have changed. It gives them an option to actually sponsor a child if they would like, and other things that are going on. So if they would like to learn more about the missionaries, about the school, and other things, they can definitely go to that website.
All right, very good. Well, Lindsay, I want to thank you very much for your time. I know you got to get off to class here this morning, right?
I do, actually. I have to. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, work hard, and we look forward to seeing you saving more lives down there.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Appreciate your time this morning. That's Lindsay Noel Sosa. She lives in Griswold, but after she finishes up with that RN degree, she's back to Haiti again to take care of some people who need the help. Now, with regard to that, if you'd like to help out, Ashley Hoppert was the one who originally contacted me here with an email with all kinds of details about a fundraiser that her family is working on over at St. Paul's Lutheran Church here in Atlantic. They're selling different things like Yankee Candle products, Little Caesars pizza kits, and $1 religious, multicolored religious bracelets. For each bracelet sold, one also goes to a child at the orphanage there, and they're taking donations. So if folks would like to help out but don't necessarily want to buy the products that they're selling, they can do that too. And they're doing the fundraiser at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, along with some of the other children's groups there too, and they'll be selling some of those different products before and after each of the church services, during the Wednesday services, during Lent, the Saturday night, and both Sunday morning, both Sunday services. That fundraiser actually began during this month. It began March 1st, and they'll run it through April 1st at 2 o'clock. So they'll be at the church every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 12:30, if you'd like to help out by buying any of those products or just making a donation. And as you heard Lindsay say, it doesn't take, you don't have to write a huge check to make a big difference. So they'd appreciate anything you can do. I want to turn things back over to Brett so he can tell us more this morning about Camblin Plumbing and Heating. Brett?
Sterling tubs and showers are made with you in mind. Many of their styles have soap shelves, non-slip floors, and sizes to fit most applications. Their remodeler units allow us to take practically any situation and make it better. Camlin Plumbing and Heating has carried Sterling now for several years, and we are pleased not only with their quality, styles, and ease of installation, but also with their competitive pricing that they offer to you, the ultimate consumer. Shop Camlin Plumbing and Heating for all your bathroom remodeling needs and get discount pricing every day. Stop in and see us at 307 Chestnut Street in Atlantic or 1013 7th Street in Harlan. The thought of the day today comes from Jimmy Buffett. It says, "We are the people that our parents warned us about."
Okay. As soon as I heard Jimmy Buffett, I thought, oh, boy.
I know, you cringe every time, don't you?
All right. Thank you, Brett. Yep. Appreciate that very much. Again, if you can help those folks out, they'd sure appreciate it. I want to thank Lindsay Noel Sosa for spending a little time and sharing with us about her experiences as well. Hey, you go out and make it a great day, and God bless America.